The first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain were with them, others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is without question the greatest attested fact in all human history, and is the most important fact in all human history. Since Adam, with one monotonous death after another, he died, he died, he died, he lived, and he died. And the reason this is the most important thing that happened in human history is stated for us in the Word of God. If Christ be not raised, ye are yet in your sins. But, says the Apostle, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. God saw to it that the events surrounding the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ are so conclusive that no one but an idiot could possibly set aside the witness that God has provided for us. 12 times over in the Acts of the Apostles, we read, God raised him up. 12 times over that's stated. God raised him up. And the Apostle Peter said, when they were selecting someone to take the place of Judas, who had by transgression fell, he said, there's got to be a man that has accompanied with us from the time of the baptism of the Lord Jesus by John the Baptist until he was taken up into heaven. There has to be one selected to do what? To bear witness of the resurrection that Christ arose. There's no question about it that he was born. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The scripture says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The prophet Isaiah could say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. God was manifest in flesh, as the scripture. Great is the mystery of godliness. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. This is a story from Nassau in the Bahamas. A couple took their daughter to Dr. Quackenbush. That was his name. Quackenbush. To be examined. He told them that their daughter was pregnant. That can't be. That's impossible, they said. He said, yes, she's pregnant. They said, no, she isn't. The doctor went over to the window and he started looking out of the window. They said, what are you doing? Well, I said, the only time this ever happened in the history of the world before, there was a star in the east. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Not born. The son wasn't born. In the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son. But unto us a child is born. The Lord Jesus said as he stood in front of Pilate, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I unto the world. There was no question of his trial. He was sentenced. And he was not worthy to die. Even the judge said, I find no fault in this man, 3 times over. And yet, defying all logic, he sentenced an innocent man to die. And when you sentence an innocent man to die, it's not the innocent man that's the criminal, it's the judge that's the criminal. There's no question that he died. It says they saw that he was dead already. The soldiers, they had seen people dead die before. They'd killed a few, probably. And when they saw that he was dead already, it says they break not his bones that the script might be fulfilled. And they took a sword, or the spear rather, they pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That blood and water did not come out of his side to show that he had died, because they already had concluded that he was dead. It only came out to show who it was that died. When dead men die, their bodies go to corruption. Blood doesn't flow out of dead people. But thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One, the Bible says, to see corruption. John says, and he insists that he saw. He that bore witness knows what he's talking about. There's witness to the fact that the Lord Jesus had received a mortal wound. If he hadn't been dead, when that spear had been thrust into his heart, he'd certainly soon have died. God saw to it that there was no question about him dying. There are those that say that he only swooned on the cross, and that kind of nonsense. They try to pass that over as though that's some new thought. And then we read that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He wanted to bury him in his own new tomb. And Pilate at first refused until he had it confirmed by the centurion that was at the cross that Jesus was actually dead. And then, being satisfied with the centurion that he was dead, he released the body. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took that body down from the cross. Nicodemus had brought a lot of linen, and he brought myrrh and aloes to wrap that dead body. And they took that cloth, yards of cloth, and they wrapped him around and around and around and around, as the manner of the Jews was to bury. And then, on top of that, they put him in a cave and rolled a great stone in front of the door. The women were asking him, how in the world are we going to roll? How are we going to roll away that big stone? Who shall roll us away the stone? And when they got there, as we read, they found that the stone was rolled away. You know, I was in the tire business for 11 years. And back in those days, one of the things that they did, at least with the white wall tires, with the high price stuff, they used to take paper and they'd wrap it around and around the tire. And I discovered this. I never met a man in my life that could take that tire out of those wrappings without disturbing the rest. It's impossible. And yet that's exactly what happened. John, when he came in, he saw the linen clothes lying. They're still there, just as they were wrapped around the body, but there wasn't any body in it. God saw to it that there was no question whatever about it. We read later that John and, or the disciple whom Jesus loved, and no doubt John and Peter, they ran to the sepulcher and they went in. And the scripture says, as yet they knew not the scripture that Jesus was raised from the dead, but he had said at least in 7 distinct occasions that are recorded that he was die, he must suffer, and he was rise again from the dead. And here these two angels, they remind these men of these women of this. Don't you remember what he said when he was yet in Galilee? He must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I told you, and I told you, and I told you. Then they remembered his word. And when John went in and saw those wrappings undisturbed, the napkin lying in a place by itself,
Knows that it had been wrapped around his body, around and around and around, and disturbed. He says he saw. And he believed that Christ had risen from the dead. I want to think a little bit this morning about that expression in verse 3. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. You know, there are hundreds of thousands that could have and perhaps saw him when he died. He died right outside of Jerusalem's walls, right by a main road. And we read that sitting down, they watched him there. They saw him when he died. There was no question about it. They couldn't deny the fact. He was crucified. God saw to it. That was abundant witness to his death. They watched him there. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. This is the first time and the only time in the four Gospels that you ever read the Lord Jesus. You read of him being called Lord before, but never in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John is he called the Lord Jesus. And Peter later could say, God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's risen. Ascended. He was obedient unto death, even death of the cross. And because of that, God has highly exalted him. He's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should own him Lord. And that's the only way anybody gets saved. You may have your opinions, but if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you're still in your sins. There's no other way to be saved than through him. And the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is the empty tomb. He is not risen. He's not here, rather. He's risen, as he said. Death could not keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, the mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor o'er the grave, and he lives eternally to save. Mary wept as she went to that empty tomb. And she said, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. They've taken him away. What she said was pretty close to what they actually said when they lied about it. It says his disciples, they later said, they came away and stole him away. They've taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And she was weeping because of that. And someone has said she should have been weeping if he had still been there. Because he said he was going to arise from the dead. No one, listen to what I'm saying, no one ever found the Lord Jesus after his death. No one, either believer or unbeliever, no one found him after his death. It was just like he disappeared from the planet. Disappeared in a miraculous way. Coming out of that wrapping. Coming through that stone that rolled away the door, at the door. He had just disappeared. And no one ever saw him. I should say no one ever found him after that. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. He was nowhere to be found. The huge stone couldn't keep him in the grave. The sealed tomb couldn't keep him in the grave. The guard that they put there at the grave. We remember what that deceiver said. The disciples had forgot, but his enemies hadn't forgotten. We remember what that deceiver said. He said that in 3 days he'll rise again. Pilate says, you've got a watch. Set the watch. Seal the tomb. And if you broke the Roman seal in those days, it meant that you were due to be executed. That wasn't a light offense. It was sealed by the authority of the governor. And they had a watch. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus, because the scripture says he showed himself. No unbelieving eye ever saw the Lord Jesus after his death. No sinner, no chief priest, no scribe, no elders, none of them ever saw the Lord Jesus after his death. They might have scarred the countryside trying to come up with some explanation. But they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. The scripture says he showed himself alive. And Peter said in Acts chapter 10, he showed himself to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who ate with him. Not to anybody. And to everybody. And he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. This is the woman whom he had cast out seven demons. Well, Lord, couldn't you have made a better selection than that? After all, a woman, you know, you can't believe half of what women, these women's tales, they didn't swallow that. When she came back and told him, we've seen the Lord. Tell us another one. That was their attitude. He showed himself to Mary Magdalene, the one who had lingered at the cross. She had watched as they took him down from the cross. She had seen as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had placed him in that tomb, and she'd taken note of it. Early the next morning, before the sun was up, on that third day after his death, she came to the tomb. And she and those who were with her were asking, who will roll us away the stone? So she was seen by, he was seen by a group of women. And so they hot-footed, and they go back to Jerusalem to tell this to the apostles and those that were with them. And when they get there, they said, well, the Lord hath appeared to Simon. You mean that one who denied him of those who curses? Yes, that's the one. He saw him first. You know, they thought he'd have put him last on the totem pole. He saw him. And then the Lord Jesus, he appears in the midst. And he upbraided them for their unbelief. You know what they said? He had said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I gave you the witness of these women. You didn't believe them. I gave you the witness of Peter, one of your own, and you didn't believe him. And he appeared in the midst of these unbelievers to these 10 apostles, because we know that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. I heard a story the other day. One Jewish rabbi is down on his knees. Oh, Lord, he says, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am just nothing in your sight. Another rabbi, not to be outdone. Oh, Lord, I am nothing. I am nothing. And then somebody was sitting in the audience in the synagogue. They get down on their knees in the aisle. Oh, Lord, I am nothing. I am nothing. And these two rabbis say, look now who says he and thinks he's nothing. And you know, I imagine these apostles said, can you imagine? Do you think the Lord would actually go and see those women first before he'd see us after he rose? That's ridiculous. And when the apostles stood in the presence of the Lord Jesus, of the Sanhedrin, and to declare that neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, says they wondered and they marveled at these ignorant and unlearned men. Said, why in the world would God reveal himself to those guys? Pass us by. But the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these in the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. And the next Lord's Day, first day of the week after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, he appears, and here is Thomas, who had been told by 10 men, we've seen the Lord, there's no question about it, Thomas, We've been here with you for 3.5 years with the Lord. Would we tell you a lie? No, we've seen the Lord. He said, listen, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. Don't say I can't believe. I won't believe. Talk about stubborn. He had 10 witnesses. And wouldn't believe. And the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. But Thomas did something that every person should do, and that's the only thing that you have to do if you're going to get saved. He bent at Christ's feet. My Lord! Not the Lord, but my Lord.
My God. Have you ever bowed at Jesus' feet and acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior?
That's what you have to do. That's what every sinner must do in order to get saved. And the Bible assures us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord appeared. You know, we read his appearance. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, to those women. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared particularly to Thomas. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Brother Saul, this is what Barnabas said, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto thee in the way. No one ever found the Lord Jesus, and no one ever can find it today. The only way you can know him is by revelation. You appear. He's still doing that. To those who are just simple enough and sincere enough to take him at his word and to trust him, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And Peter wrote later, though now we see him not, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We read in John chapter 12 of the Greeks who came up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see him. And the scripture says, Jesus answered them and said, do you want to see me? Do you really want to see me? I'll tell you how you can see me. This was his answer. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. The only possible way we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what the gospel is through his death. And the apostle defines the gospel by three facts that are true of the Lord Jesus. The first fact is that Christ died for our sins. He had no sins of his own. He, the just one, died for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The only way we can see him is through his death and resurrection. The only way we can see him, not with this natural eye, but with the eye of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, says the scripture, and thou shalt be saved. You will never see Jesus as your Savior apart from his death and resurrection. That's the only passport to heaven that anybody has. You'll never see the Lord Jesus as your Savior unless you in simple faith embrace him and say, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty. I'm lost. And I'm helpless. But thou canst make me whole. There's none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord,
for me. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I can tell you just how you can find the body of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says of every believer, our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through here. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He's going to change these bodies like unto His own body of glory. There's coming a day when you'll be able to look in the mirror, if I can use this word, in heaven, and you're going to see the body of the Lord Jesus, because that's the kind of body you're going to have. A body like unto His own body. They found not His body when they were here on earth. Even the disciples didn't find His body. Only by His revelation, He appeared. To those who trust in the Savior, we're looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession. Someday, we will like Him. That's the fruit of the resurrection. Someday the Lord Jesus is going to see the fruits of the travail of His soul, the corn of the wheat fell to the ground and died. And it came forth and brought forth much fruit. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. But after, all is a blessed after. Afterward, they that are hid, you're not saved this morning. I don't know a better day than today to trust the Lord Jesus, to realize the purpose for which He died, was buried, He rose again. God's Word says He lives in heaven, a prince and a Savior to bless all that come unto God through Him. He said, there's no other way. I am the way. Be true. Be love. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Take Christ then as your Savior, and all will be well. The morrow let bring what it may. His love will protect you. His Spirit will guide and safely keep you in His way. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for this fact that not one single human heart ever saw the Lord Jesus after He died, apart from His revelation. He appeared. You know that today, only those who receive Him by faith really see Him. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Thomas. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many of us here today can sing with rejoicing, blessed Lord, unseen, beloved, dear thy name, but when our eyes behold, with joyful wonder, we'll exclaim the half and not been told. Thou exceedest all the fame our ears have ever heard. How happy we who know thy name and trust thy faithful word. Bless thy word, each one here present, we ask. Amen.